gave me a headset to wear. Feel like I'm wearing a beret of some kind. Put that in my pocket. That still works, John? I think so.
Bring it down.
Bring it down?
No, bring the microphone down.
This right here?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, that helped. But it was in my view of my notes, and I could only see half my notes.
Bring it farther.
That would bring it, yeah, you want it back up now. Cut that lesson in half. Amen, good one, amen. I hear you. Welcome, welcome. Appreciate your attendance very much. I need this because my voice is still kind of that way, especially after teaching the class this morning. It just doesn't take very long for me to talk until my voice gets a little hoarse or like it is right now. But if you have hope to receive an outline this morning, if you'd like to follow along with the lesson, or you can just listen as I present it, or you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 24, because I'm going to go give you the summary of the whole chapter. And I've titled the lesson Seven Openings that are recorded in the book of Luke. So many times we just focus on the one opening, the opening of the tomb, but there's other things that are recorded there. So let me just go through this with you and introduce it, these openings in the book of Luke, chapter 24. You know, to many of the disciples, the crucifixion was the end. Wow, they thought it was all over. They are this witness that Jesus had been betrayed by Judas in the garden. They saw Jesus was arrested. And when they saw that, the disciples ran. They fled away. And then they, from a distance, they saw the mock trial of Jesus. They saw that he was scourged and that he was delivered to be crucified. Then they saw he witnessed his death on the cross. And then perhaps they heard Jesus say, Father, the last words of Jesus, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And Luke chapter 23 records that having said that, Jesus breathed his last. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come to Pilate and they beg for the body of Jesus, and Pilate grants their request, so they take down the body of Jesus and place him in a tomb. So with that being done, the disciples probably thought that everything was finished. Everything's over. You know, let's close the door. That's the end. That's the conclusion. That's the amen. Let's go home. Jesus died. And that, they're saying, that's it. But then in Luke chapter 24, we have the announcement by the two men at the tomb of Jesus. In verse 6 of the reading this morning, the two men said, he's not here. He's not here. The ladies were coming to give additional preparation for his body for burial, but they got there, he's not here. He's risen. And that's the beginning of several openings that are recorded in Luke chapter 24. As Paul Harvey would say, there's more to the story, or let's hear the rest of the story. So I've listed seven openings in Luke chapter 24, not just the opening of the tomb, but that's number one in your notes. That's what so many people in our world are celebrating today, is the open tomb. But let's finish the story. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24, just for the opening verses. It's on the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. And they brought spices which they prepared. And there were certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in. They didn't find the body of Jesus there. You see, the tomb was not supposed to be opened. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, and I need to hold this up by my bifocals, my notes, I've written out the verse. But the tomb was not supposed to be opened. In Matthew 27, verse 62, it says the next day, meaning the day after the crucifixion, the chief priests, the elders came together to Pilate. So here come the Jewish leaders. They come before Pilate. And they said, sir, or Pilate, we remember that the deceiver, they referred to Jesus as the deceiver. We remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I'll rise again. So they said, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until after the third day. Otherwise, the disciples will come by night and they'll steal him away. And the disciples will say to the people, see, he's risen. So Pilate said to them, you have a watch or a guard. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went. And they made the sepulcher, the tomb, sure. They sealed the stone and they set a watch, put a guard. Great stone covered the opening of the tomb, and it was sealed, kind of like caulking all around it, and it was guarded. In Matthew 28, verse 2, records it this way. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat on it. So the tomb was opened by heavenly authority so that the disciples could see in, so that those that came to the tomb could see that it was empty. The disciples did not steal the body of Jesus as they wanted them to say. They didn't want the disciples to claim there was a resurrection, but God had a hand in it. The tomb was opened. There was a second opening now in the book of Luke chapter 24. And that's the open memory. Opened memory. The angel, the two men, said to the women that came to the tomb in the next few verses of the reading that was given to us this morning. In beginning of verse 6, the two angels or the two men that stood by that opened the stone away, said, he's not here. That's right. He's risen. And then the next word, the angel said, remember? Do you remember? I'm going to open their minds. Remember? Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet with you in Galilee? Do you remember that? And he said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. That happened. And he'll be crucified. That happened. And rise again the third day. And that happened. And then the next phrase of the verse, and they remembered his words. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, the tomb was opened. And now their memory was opened. That's right, he said that. Jesus told that in Matthew 12, verse 40, during his earthly ministry. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall that, just like that was, this is. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said it again in Matthew 20, verse 18. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and scribes. They'll condemn him to death. And they'll deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify. And the third day he'll rise again. Oh, that's right. Jesus said that. He said it again. John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus told the disciples, you destroy this temple, meaning this body, and in 3 days it'll rise again. Yeah, that's right. And then, so when the angel said, remember what he said? Oh, that's right. He did say that, didn't he? They remembered the words, and then they leave to tell the others. You see, many of today's tombs are famous for the bodies they contain. This tomb is famous for it being empty. So number one, in Luke chapter 24, there was an open tomb. Then number two, they opened their memory. That's right, Jesus said that. Points number three and four kind of go together. They're in Luke 24, verses 31 and 32. In verse 31, it says, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Ah, they opened their eyes. So you have an open tomb. You have an open memory. Oh, my eyes are open. That's right. He really is the Son of God, isn't he? After his resurrection. So before their eyes could be opened, they had to remember the scriptures. They had to remember prophecy. And so in verses 10 and 11, it says, you know, there was the ladies that came to the tomb, or there was named. There was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them. They told these things to the apostles. Their words seemed as idle tales. Remember, they didn't think that Jesus would be resurrected. They didn't believe that for a moment. Until they, oh, that's right, he did say, didn't he? Next phrase, they believed them not, the other disciples. Really? The women saw the empty tomb, but the disciples didn't. But the women go and tell them, the tomb is empty. Really? Yeah. Verse 16 says, their eyes were holden, the apostles' eyes were holden, that they should not know him or recognize him. And when they did see him, they thought he was the gardener. Oh, but verse 25, Jesus said to them, he met them on the way. He said to them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ah. Oh. And then verse 31, and their eyes were opened. That's right. Ah, oh, remember he said that. And now they go, the ladies go and tell the other apostles, oh, that's right too. We remember that. But Jesus teaches them from Scripture. It's going to be the next point, number four. And when he teaches them from Scripture, their eyes were opened. Their eyes are open. No doubt, Jesus wanted them to know him on the basis of faith, believing the scriptures. So that takes us to the next point, number four. Jesus opened Scripture, and the ladies make mention of that. It's in the next verse, verse 32. So they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, before their eyes were opened, Jesus opened to them the scriptures. He opened to them what the prophets had said concerning his crucifixion and his resurrection. Ah, so now you have the open tomb. Oh, they remember. The lady said, oh, I remember that's what he said. And then they meet him on the way, and Jesus opens to them the prophets, the scriptures. And then number four, their eyes were opened. Oh, I see. Verse 27 says, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Oh, I wish I knew what he said. If Jesus could quote some scriptures or mention some scriptures concerning him and it opens their eyes, which scriptures did you use? Because I want to open the eyes of my hearers. I want others to have their eyes opened that he's the Christ. Remember, they fled when he was arrested. They thought that was it. It's all over. But then he's resurrected and the ladies are convinced, oh, the tomb is opened. They remember the words of Jesus. They go tell the apostles and they says, oh, no, that didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. Then they meet Jesus on the road and Jesus opens the scriptures and it opens their eyes. Wow, the power of God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. That's the task that I have. That's the task set before me when I stand before you, is to preach the word. The reason is because of the power of God's word. It has the ability to convince people that Jesus is the Son of God. So you preach the word. You explain what the prophets said concerning Jesus coming and his crucifixion. You preach and teach the word of God. Oh, in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. In other words, Jesus gave the sense of the scriptures. He says, you remember what the prophets said? Remember what Jesus said? This is what it means. I want to give you some understanding of what you just heard, Jesus is saying. Jesus reveals to them what they already knew. The scriptures. That's right, he did say that, didn't he? The prophets did foretell that, didn't they? That's right. Bible says in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John, the Gospel of John, it gives us kind of a summary. It says, many other signs or miracles or wonders did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Jesus did a lot of things that are not recorded. But then the next phrase of the verse in John 20, verses 30 and 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. You see why we preach the word of God? Because there's power in God's word to convince people that Jesus is the Christ. The evidence that we have that Jesus is the Christ is found in the written word, in the Bible, in the word of God. That's where the power lays. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so when Jesus on that road preaches and teaches to these apostles and these ladies from scripture, he opens the book, so to speak, and it opens their eyes, and they believe he's the Christ, the resurrected Jesus. Open their eyes because he opened the scriptures. Number 5 in your note, he opened their hand, he opened his hands to give them a blessing. It's in verse 50, still in Luke chapter 24, another opening. Doesn't actually say his hands were open, but I can just get a picture of that. In verse 50, he led them out after he speaks to them as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. I just get a picture of that his hands is open and it's not a clenched fist. The last words of Jesus is not going to say, I'm going to get them for this. The last words of Jesus are not a closed hand that says, they'll be sorry. No, but he blesses his followers, his people. Hands that blessed. Because of Jesus' resurrection, because of Jesus' ascension, the Apostle Paul writes to the brethren in Ephesus in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's us today, brethren, Christians, the church, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. One of the business of Jesus' life, crucifixion, and resurrection is to give blessings to his people. When you see Jesus, I want you to see hands that are open for blessings. He wants to bless us with spiritual blessings. He opened his hands. Number 6, the next one, he opened the door to heaven. It's in verse 51 of the text. Verse 51. Came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So Jesus, and when Jesus opened the door to heaven and ascended to the Father's right hand, he didn't close the door behind him. No. He didn't shut the door and said, it's been a nice trip. Enjoyed my ministry. Had a good time on earth. No, he opens the door and is still open. He doesn't close the door behind him and say, sorry, you can't come in. In Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled before his crucifixion. He's in the upper room, Thursday, the day before his crucifixion. Says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," because he said he's going to be leaving. Knew he's going to be crucified. So don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Sure do. Hands go up. Believe also in me. And then he gives them a word of assurance. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, for us, the blessings. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So you see, when he ascended into heaven, he doesn't close the door behind him. He gave that message to the apostles that one day where I am, you will be also. So he opens the door to heaven. So where Jesus is, one day we will go. We'll be there. He led and he opened the way for us. And then the last one, number 7 in your notes. It's in verses 46 and 47. Here are these 7 openings in Luke chapter 24. And so now he opens a new day of grace. A new day of grace. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And then he says, "And that repentance," and you can see the list. He says, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says, I want you to stay in the city until you receive power from on high. And having said that, then he was lifted up into heaven. And that last message, the last words of Jesus, what's on your mind? What are you telling the disciples? I want repentance, remission of sins preached to all nations in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Stay in the city until you receive power from on high. And it happened 10 days later after his ascension. After the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus was on earth for 40 days. For 40 days. Then he ascended to the Father. 10 days after that is the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. 10 days. That means the 40 days and then 10 days later, 50 days. Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover or the crucifixion of Jesus. The disciples are in Jerusalem, just like Jesus said. Stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, they received power from on high in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And then just as Jesus said those last words, he wanted repentance and remission of sins preached in his name. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up with the 11 and he preaches to these devout Jews from every nation that are there for that feast day. And he convinces them in verses 21 and 22, I can see Peter maybe pointing the finger at them. You through wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God. He continues his sermon, and in verse 36, he repeats the same thing. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were convinced. We've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. The next verse in Acts 2, verse 36, then they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Is there any response required from us? Anything that we, that blood's on our hands. So then Peter and the 11 answer the question in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Now, wait a minute. That's what Jesus said in Luke 24, the very last verses. I want repentance, remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem to all the nations. It happened. 10 days later, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Then with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves." Response, save yourself from this crooked or untoward generation. with many, and those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. They were added unto them. That's right. Salvation. You see all the openings? Yeah, there was an open tomb. Sure was. Yeah, there was an open memory. He opened scriptures to open their eyes. Jesus opens his hands. He opens heaven. And he opens a way for you and me to be where he is. Through his message, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and by heavenly authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Jesus is giving us what we need and what we cannot provide for ourselves. That's grace. That's grace. So if you're subject to that invitation, if that's the response that we preach, the Word of God, if you're subject to it, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve this morning to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. You just need to let it be known. So Dennis, make your way to the front and we'll sing a song. We always use this phrase, a song of invitation. Let's stand together. We say it's a song of invitation or a song of invite. It's a song of exhortation, a song of encouragement. It just gives you time to reflect on your relationship with God. And if baptism is something that you have not done yet and you need to do it, you can just simply let it be known that that's your desire this morning. So let's sing it together.